Delighted to have all of you that are visiting with us this morning. We're glad that you're here, and we look forward to you coming back and being with us every opportunity that you have. Thank you, Buzz, for the good prayer, and appreciate so very much the reading of the scripture this morning by Chris and all the ones that have participated in our service today. We're delighted to have you. We're glad that you're here, and we're studying and worshiping our God. What kind of faith do you have? In Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the Bible tells us that we cannot possibly please God without faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When we turn to the book of James, James tells us in James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14, about faith. And here we find three kinds of faith that James mentions. Number one, in this record we find something about dead faith. Well, what is a faith that is dead, inactive? James gives us an answer to that. As a matter of fact, in James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and then one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? What good is that? What have you accomplished? James says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith alone cannot save anyone. Why? If I see a brother or sister, and a brother or sister is hungry or they need clothing, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to practice faith. I'm supposed to, in the ability that I may have, to be able to assist them and help them. Dead faith is really just simply words that are given to substitute for deeds. Here we find that there are some folks that have that in their vocabulary. They know the words that are used with regards to prayer and regarding the work of the Lord. And there are some people that can quote the right verses from the Bible. However, my friends, their walk does not measure up to their talk. If I say that I believe in God, James says, now if you're just going to say that, if you're saying that you believe in Him, you're giving just simply the mental attention to it. Well, what good is that without a demonstration of that faith? And he talks, therefore, about faith that is just all by itself. Can say dead faith save a single soul? Well, the answer is obviously no. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. You might know a lot about the Bible. You might study the Word of the Lord a lot. But, friends, look, James is telling you it's good to know, it's good to study. However, that's supposed to motivate you to demonstrate that faith that you have. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. James says in verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. For as the body without the spirit is dead, verse 26, so faith without works is dead also. Sometimes we fail, don't we? Sometimes we don't demonstrate it. Sometimes we say we believe, but then we don't practice it. Any faith that's not result in a changed life and is an engager in good works is a false declaration. It's a dead faith. And dead faith is really a counterfeit. It really is saying something that doesn't mean anything. Do we have this kind of faith, a dead faith? Yes, we do. If we do not walk and measure up to our talk, yes, we do. If our works do not measure up to our words. And the Bible clearly tells us that faith without works is dead. There was a man that wrote, Warren Wiersbe said, "Beware of intellectual faith. No man can come to Christ by faith and remain the same." Why? Because when you believe in Christ, you demonstrate that. You show it. No wonder then, and he goes on to say, any more than if he came into contact with a 220-volt wire and remained the same. Friend, when you come to Christ, you're made alive, not dead. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 1 John 5 and verse 12. Number two, James says that dead faith will not save you. Well, what a demonic faith, the devil's faith. James discusses that. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. And now look what James says. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Boy, that's great. That's marvelous. Thou believest there is one God? You do well. But the devils also believe and they tremble. You mean to tell me that the devil believes there is a God? What a shock. Even demons have a kind of faith. And number one, they believe in God, therefore there's no atheist or agnostics among all the demons. There is not a single one of them that doesn't believe in God. James says unequivocally, James 2 verse 19, the devils also believe and they tremble. One version has it, they shudder. Because they do what? They believe. They know. They're not a Gnostic. They're not one who says there is no God. But they believe in God. And you know what? They believe in the deity of Christ. They believe that Jesus is the Christ. They confess that. In the book of Mark chapter 3, 11 through 12, and unclean spirits, when they saw him, they fell down before him and they cried out saying, thou art the Son of God. They believe what? That Jesus is the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. It wasn't time yet. But they did what? They believed that he was indeed and is the Son of God. Not only is that true, we talked about the judgment not long ago. They truly believe in the judgment. They know it's forthcoming. Why? In Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 through 29, and when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? They believe in it. They know it's forthcoming. What kind of faith do demons have? Well, they believe. And the Bible says it's just an intellectual faith. True. But you know what? They add to theirs. They add the emotions. The Bible says they tremble. They shudder. They know. They believe. And they believe in God. But they tremble. Dead faith cannot save you. And the devil's faith cannot save you. It cannot possibly. No, not a person can be enlightened with his mind, and even though his heart is stirred, has some emotion, but he can be lost forever because his faith is not a saving faith. True saving faith involves something more, something that can be seen, something that can be recognized. You know by the person's life that is changed. It's changed because he has that faith with his mind. He has that faith with emotion. Yes, being a Christian involves trusting Christ and living for Christ. I suggest to you that first of all, you receive life by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you reveal that life by living the gospel. Living like God wants us to live. Do we have this kind of faith? It is that, if we just believe the right things and feel the right things, we do if our service to God does not go beyond that. Intellectually adhering to the right doctrine, but emotionally experienced while attending services, and you say, well, I believe. Now, what do you do? Yes, you fail to go on and demonstrate that. James closes his discussion on faith by suggesting, thirdly, concerning the only kind of faith that can save you or that can save me. What kind of faith is it? Yes, it's a dynamic faith. It's one that we believe with all of our hearts. It's one that's shown by our emotions. It affects us because it's a demonstrated faith. We know that such faith is based upon the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Dead faith, that touches the intellect. And a faith that is a demonic faith, that involves both the mind and the emotions. But the faith that's saved by James, as James suggested, is one that is a dynamic faith involving the intellect, the emotions, and the will. A demonstration of that great faith. That's the faith that involves the whole man. It's not enough for me to preach. It's not enough for me just to believe, but I've got to demonstrate it, change my life in keeping with the will of God. True faith, saving faith, leads to actions. The mind understands the truth. The heart desires and rejoices in the truth. And the will acts upon that truth. True faith, saving faith, leads to action. No, it's not just intellectual contemplation, though your mind is involved. No, it's not just some emotion, though your emotions will be seen. It is that which leads to obedience in doing good works for the Lord. You remember in Ephesians chapter 2, how that Paul, when he was writing to the Ephesian brethren, he says that we're saved by faith. No, saved by grace, through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Surely, we are created unto God unto good works of faith that is a working faith. James says, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he's called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way, For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Did you notice two illustrations by James? Calls out two people. Look what he says. Talks about Abraham. Well, Abraham was the father of the Jews. He's called the friend of God. Rahab was a Gentile. And then Abraham was a godly man. Rahab had been a sinful woman, a harlot. Abraham was called the friend of God. But Rahab had belonged to the enemies of God. Abraham belonged to God. But there was one thing common between these two people, two persons that's so different, and that's this. They each had saving faith. Saving faith? Who? Abraham? He demonstrated it. The Bible tells us in verses 20 through 24, he offered up Isaac. In his mind, he was ready to do it. Genesis chapter 22. His faith moved him to do what? To demonstrate it. And what about Rahab the harlot? The Bible says in verses 25 through 26 of James 2 that she demonstrated her faith by her works and saved them, her and her family. Why? Because she had that dynamic faith. She believed. Not only that, she felt the truth of God. And then she demonstrated that. Dead faith cannot save us. We know that. And the Bible clearly states, and there's only one place that I know of in the Bible where that statement is found, where the Bible says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Cannot be justified by faith alone. Yes, each Christian needs to examine his heart. All of us do. There's not an exception to see whether or not our minds have been enlightened with God's Word. That the emotions that we feel when we talk about the Master and in His service rejoice that we can do it. And then to have the willpower to say, I'm going to do it. Yes, by faith, which is a working faith, a saving faith, can bring about salvation. There was several questions asked. One preacher one time made these comments. I want to consider with you in conclusion. Was there a time when I honestly realized I was a sinner and admitted this to myself in God? Did you ever say I, just like Paul said, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. What did you admit it something? He knew he had been guilty of sin. You ever done that? Did it really hurt you? Number two, was there a time when my heart stirred me to flee from the wrath to come? Have I ever been seriously worked up over my sins? I can get really worked up about sins of others. I can be condemning of those who do things that they should not do. But am I worked up about my sins? Am I worked up and become seriously wanting to do something about the sins I have committed? Do I truly understand the gospel that Christ died for my sins and then rose again? Do I understand and confess that I can't save myself without Christ? Good question. Dependent upon whom? The Savior. You need whom? You need Christ. I need Christ. We all need Christ. Do I sincerely repent of my sins? Making the decision to turn from them? When I've done wrong, am I willing to say, I am the one that was wrong? I have sinned. It is I. Remember in Luke chapter chapter 18, verse 16. There was a man who said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Have I sincerely repented of my sins? Have I made that decision? I know one thing, Guy McDaniel is not going to do it again, so help me. If God will be my helper. Do I hate sin and fear God? Or do I secretly love sin and want to enjoy it? Me, a sinner. Have I trusted Christ and Him alone for my salvation? By responding to the commands He has given, have I confessed my faith in Christ and then been baptized for the remission of my sins as He and His apostles commanded? Has there been a change in my life? Can people see me differently now? Or am I the same after I've been baptized? After I've served the Lord many years, still the same old guy? Is there a change made? Have I truly been involved in good works and not just something occasionally or something that is weak? Do I seek to grow in the things of the Lord? Can others tell that I have been with Jesus? Isn't that wonderful? The Bible says in Acts 4 that the disciples, Peter, as he was speaking, and they spoke and they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And guess what? They took note of the fact that Peter had been with Jesus. When you're with Him, when you know Him, when you believe Him, and you're ready to serve Him, guess what? You'll be a changed person too. You won't harbor ill thoughts on others or thoughts on others. You'll not be an individual that constantly murmurs and criticizes. You'll be an individual that is a worker. You'll serve the Lord faithfully, and you'll want to be at services because you have the opportunity to worship the true and the living God. I was told in a very kind way a while ago that I was not to say anything about that during this service. Well, you know, you tell a preacher not to do something, a lot of times preachers will what? They'll just do that same thing. I'll let somebody else explain that to you later. But I have one on this side. But I can tell you about that one. I can tell you that when I need a drink of water, when I'm preaching, there, that's mine. I was in a meeting at Portage, Indiana one time. As a matter of fact, when I used to come out here in the old building and we had meetings, remember that? Wasn't that, boy, some of the greatest time of my life. When a young man came out and preached the gospel, usually the first week in August, you know what I would ask for. One thing that every time I'd come, I would want a cup of water sitting up on the pulpit stand. So I was in Portage, Indiana. I told the brethren that I needed a cup of water during the meeting. They put it up, and the song leader got up to sing. What did he do? He turned right over and got my cup of water. And up he goes and drinks the water out of my cup. Well, I didn't really need any water that night, I guess. I made it without that. But the next night, I told him, we need two cups. And make sure this is mine and that one is his, okay? Anyway, you'll find out more about that. Friends, all we are here together serving the Lord, isn't it great? What do we want? We want more than anything in the world to sit with Jesus someday. I want everybody in this building to be in heaven because I want to be there and I want to be with you. But we're not going to make it if our faith is not demonstrated. If we do not have that faith that moves us to do what the good Lord wants us to do. Do I have a desire to share Christ with others, or am I ashamed of Him? Open up your mouth anytime you can. When you're with somebody else, tell them that you're a Christian. Tell them that Christ loves them, and you want to do everything you possibly can to show them that truth. Do I really enjoy the fellowship of God's people? Is worship a delight to me? The psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, what? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalms 122, verse 1. Are you sad when you have to come? Or does it make you glad? Surely those with faith, saving faith, demonstrated how. Yes, they know their minds have been informed. Yes, they feel it because, you see, their heart has been involved. And yes, my friends, every single one of us will be those that are doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving our own self. James answers the questions. Three kinds of faith. Dead, can't save you. A faith that is not only dead, but one that actually believes, like the devil's a devil's faith, demonic faith. They can't save you. But a faith that is what? Living. Faith that is active. A faith, my friends, that is showing, yes, a faith that is of God, which involves the mind, the heart, and the will of man. We want you in heaven. God wants you to be there. But you've got to have saving faith. If this morning you're in this assembly and you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, why? Why are you waiting? Why not now? Believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess the name of Jesus, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you're here today and you are a Christian but you haven't lived faithfully, admit it. Ask God to forgive you. Let us pray with you and for you as we sing this beautiful hymn. Hollis, thank you so much for us talking about the songs that we wanted. If you're subject to obey, here's a hymn that surely should touch your heart and show your faith by believing and obeying. While together we stand.